Okay, we are going to go ahead and get this meeting restarted at 7:05. I know. Monica. Is it on? No, mine's not on. No. Okay, can everybody hear me now? Okay, we're going to go ahead and call this meeting back to order at 7:05. Is there anybody who would like to lead the meeting in an invocation? Okay, seeing no one, we'll go ahead and stand for an invocation led by Ms. Miranda Jimenez and a flag salute led by Mr. Maneras.
We thank you that we are gathered here today, Heavenly Father, and for all the dedicated staff and students and everyone who's giving their best effort. We pray that you continue to bless everyone's effort. Bless the board. Give us wisdom as we go forward and make some decisions that are crucial to the future for students and for staff. Dear Lord, we again ask for wisdom. And we also pray for those that are being recognized today. We thank them for the amazing efforts for the students in the track team and the varsity team on wrestling, dear Lord, and everyone that we're recognizing today. We thank you for their hard work. We pray that you continue to bless their efforts. We thank you for all that we have in this district and all that we are going to continue to achieve. Amen.
Good evening, everybody. If we could have you face the flag and put your right hand over your heart. And please recite the flag to me. Ready? Begin.
To the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Roll call, please. Here.
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 Mr. Flowers. Here. Mr.
Bonnetta.
Present.
Here.
Here.
Okay. Okay. The board took one action in closed session by a vote of 5-0. The board took action to approve a settlement agreement related to OAH case number 20141107 45. Vote was 5-0. Okay. Next item on our agenda is a presentation. The first one is for Edgewood High School's track team. Dr. Hinman.
Thank you, Ms. Shoemaker. You know, I just want to say a little note about our athletes or any athlete that rises to the top level that we're recognizing tonight or any of our students that are involved in athletics. Sometimes we forget the hours and time of commitment it takes to play at the CIF level. And it's not the effort and the time. You always have to harpen back to the academics because they're able to balance the school and academics with athletics. And it's important we never lose sight of that. So as these young people come up and be recognized tonight, I'd ask you to recognize them not only for their athletic prowess, but also continuing to get it done in the classroom, because at the end of the day, that's really what it's all about. Mm-hmm. So program responsibility, Ms. Hawkins.
Thank you. I'd like to invite the principal of Edgewood High School, Mr. Stephen Dorsey, to the podium to share some information about their track team.
Good evening, Board of Trustees. Thank you very much. We are very honored to have our wonderful track participants here. They actually went to the indoor state meet in Fresno State University. Thank you very much. They competed here regionally, and then these are our athletes that made it on to the state portion of that meet, and I believe almost all of them were also part of our league champion cross-country team. Wow. That performed well this fall. So we would like to have them come up and recognize them. We will start with our wonderful coach, Mr. Russell Burrows. Sorry, Mr. Burrows doesn't get a certificate. We'll get him one. Jasmine Reyes. Denise Ariano. Laura Diaz. Jasmine Soria. Elizabeth Zuniga. Our assistant coach got a certificate. James Garcia. Kevin Bellow. Jonathan Otero. Osgod Oliva Valle. Omar Mendez Rivera. And Aaron Ramirez. Just by a show of hands, any of you guys take an IB class? Wow. Truly academic and athletic excellence.
Okay, we'd like to get a photo if you'd like to step in there. And President Shoemaker, if you join them.
Very low profile.
President Shoemaker, may I?
Yes.
I want to congratulate the team because I know when you all started, it was a club. It started as a club, a running club. I remember seeing the coach. I'm sorry, what was your name again in the brown?
Burroughs.
Mr. Burroughs. I would see you out there after school and on Saturdays meeting the students on the steps and taking them to run. And so to go from 4 years ago being a club to now winning CIF championships is amazing. So I am so incredibly proud of all of you. There has been many a Saturday morning when your students have gotten there an hour before you, and I'm like, do you have a ride? Why are you here? We're with the running club. And this is why I know you were a club, because the students are saying, we're here with the running club. We're going to go compete. And so I am so incredibly proud of all of you and impressed. And this weekend, you all went off to compete in two vans. I remember when you all used to load up in cars, because I would see you as I was circling around Edgewood, and this weekend somebody almost got left behind. I told them, they just took off a minute ago. see, that was me telling you. They just took off a minute ago. So congratulations to all of you to go from a club to CIF championships. That is amazing. Thank you so much for being here so that we can honor you. Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Hawkins, our next recognition.
And for this one, I'd like to invite the principal of West Covina High School, Mr. Mark Trevatori, to the podium.
Thank you, Board of Education, Superintendent and Cabinet, for this opportunity. Our wrestling team did a phenomenal job competing this year. Kind of started off the season, had a coaching change, and some people kind of lowered expectations. We have a rich and storied history of going to the Masters in state and all of that. So our kids didn't kind of give up on that hope and dream. and we had quite a few kids go to Masters and go to state, like I said, exceed all expectations. So we're so proud of them. We're not fast, but we're scrappy. So on that note, if the coaches are here, I'd like to get them up. So our boys' coaches, we have Renee Lopez Jr. and Stephanie Gallegos. So are either one of them here today? And I didn't do any coaching, so I can't take any credit here. So girls, Sergio Ortiz and then Renee Lopez Sr., are any of you here tonight? Okay. So it's just Miss Stephanie. So again, we're so proud of them, and let's bring them up here. So Tyler Ely. Silvio Caceres. Frank Lopez. And Gabriel Maldonado. So again, these four boys went to Masters, and our ladies went to state. Jimena Sarmiento. Yvette Garcia. And Jennifer Lopez.
Right, photo time.
I would like to recognize the Edgewood High School track team. Great job on your accomplishment. And I know you, at this point, are creating a tradition that, you know, the new school will hopefully carry on and grow. So know that you are those founding fathers of this the sport at Edgewood. So great job. And in terms of West Covina, you know, there's nothing like watching, in my opinion, a wrestling meet. When you talk about true intensity in a sport, I think it's difficult to find anything that equals what you see in a wrestling match. So congratulations. I know the hard work, the dedication, the determination and everything that goes into being a successful wrestler, but know that all these skills that you are learning as athletes will help you in the future, will help you as you pursue higher education, because to be a true student athlete means that you are a determined a person, someone who can manage their time, and know that those are traits that will help you succeed as you leave high school and enter college or the workforce. So keep up the great work. Thank you, coaches, for doing what you do. I know you do not get compensated monetarily very much for what you do. You do it for the passion and for the love of students. And as a school board, we are more than thankful for what you do. So thank you. Keep up the great work.
Okay. The next part of our agenda is a hearing session. The board president's report. I was able to attend the Dr. Seuss event at West Covina High School over the weekend with my nieces and nephews, and it was a fantastic event. Even my 19-month-old niece was able to do everything and loved it. I'm not sure the students and staff who had to clean up the glitter after her appreciated it, but she loved it. And so thank you for letting us know, and I was more than happy to participate. That's all I have to report right now because I have to conserve my voice. Ms. Polis.
The Dr. Seuss events across the district were fabulous. I know that every school did things, and I was able to attend some of the reading events. Every school put in an extra effort for that week, and I know it really had an impact on students. And let's hope that they want to read across America now. It was really exciting. And to end it with that Saturday at West Covina High School was fantastic. I don't know if you guys saw me showing pictures. I was showing all the pictures I took at West Covina High School, the fabulous jobs that those students did on the backdrops, on the games, was phenomenal. So thank you so much for letting the whole district be a part of that, and particularly the two students I brought. They loved it. And on top of that week, I know all of you principals, and since I have a closer relationship with two of the elementary schools, I know other people do this. So, but on top of Dr. Seuss Day, they had a technology night at Monta Vista. I hope every elementary school offers something like that. It was phenomenal. And to go in and see all the programs and to actually go in and look at the textbooks, what parents can access from home, you're aware of it, but when you go in with a group of parents and you're doing that, it really opened my eyes. And I went home and with my second and third grader, and we were looking at those books that night from what we learned. And then to go in and take the practice tests. Wow, that was enlightening. So I won't tell you how I did. But it's exciting that as parents we can go in and see what those tests are going to look like for our students in a short time and know what they're capable of and what the expectations of that our school district has for our students. It's phenomenal, and that I'm going to have to practice much more so than I can be a better parent for my students. And then on a sadder note, the candlelight vigil was done very tastefully. And I just wanted, there's nothing I can add to that except for how I feel for our community and the impact that had. The CAC is doing, having a workshop on April 16th. I know that's a time away. About suicide prevention. And I just wanted to say this since it goes out to a broader audience than is here, and that I know that it's particularly for students with disabilities, but anybody interested could come. But we have a lot of students with different struggles, and I know that our students with disabilities, it's going to be geared towards them and their unique needs that they face at school every day. And that how parents can be enlightened and how to support their children when the stress of school and the stress of life becomes overwhelming. So that's going to be on April 16th at the SELPA office. If you want more details, I can make sure that Monica has it, and you can call the district if people are interested in finding out more about that.
Mr. Maneras, any report? Ms. Maneras.
Okay. I want to congratulate Edgewood. Your Much Ado Part 3 was so much fun. Unfortunately, I was only able to catch the first 20 minutes and then come in for the last 20. I had an ROP meeting. But it was so much fun to see the presentation, and this time in Mr. Michaels' class. So the Much Ado was a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to, I guess, Part 4 next year then, or maybe they'll come up with a whole new play. And your open house was really well done. It was a very entertaining. It was great to be there. The energy, the student presentations, the classrooms had so much learning going on. To see some of the IB work of the students and their progress and where they are. So hats off to you all with your open house over at Edgewood. I want to make my colleagues aware here on the board that the East San Gabriel Valley ROP is currently in the process of conducting a strategic plan. So we are going to be checking in with stakeholders. I'm going to come to a board meeting asking for some feedback. I believe at some point they may want the superintendent and assistant soups some feedback as well. So that's going to be over the next 4 to 6 months. The last time we did a strategic plan was 3 to 4 years ago, so we're going to be updating it. Additionally, the business partner breakfast is May the 14th at 7:30. So I just want to make sure that you all are aware so that it's on your calendar. Also, West Covina High, yes, the Dr. Seuss Day was a lot of fun. I went last year. It was so good to come again this year. And thanks to the district for supporting the effort and making the elementaries aware. It was much better attendance, right? So I look forward to seeing it grow a little bit more next year, right? We said that just a little bit more. And the West Covina High School, the dance event in the evening in prep for competition. Those dancers are always so, so amazing. The boys and girls teams, military teams, I think they call them. That was really, really well done. My family was so impressed. They had not seen the dancers before. So I want to compliment West Covina High School and the great work that they did. Also with CSBA, there's two things with CSBA. In the conference committee with the AEC, we've decided on strands. In the discussion part of the agenda, I will revisit that. But the strands that we've identified are connected communities, equity, access, and opportunity, funding, finance, and facilities, leadership through governance, and student learning. So those are the strands. There's a call for proposal on the discussion part of our agenda. We'll come back to that. I brought some stuff for Ms. Hawkins and Dr. Hinman. As well as our Region 23 Education Summit, and we are looking to have a commitment from at least 25 across-the-board principals, teachers, parents, students, school board members come to ELAC on April the 18th. We have four different workshops that we're going to be looking at. We're going to be looking at Cradle to Career, looking at student preparedness for careers. That's going to be one workshop. Another workshop is going to be parent engagement, and we have the Parent Institute for Quality Education that's going to be leading that, along with the statewide PTA organization. We're going to have a special education workforce development workshop. And Ms. Poulos, I think you're involved, right, in getting some speakers for that one. That one's going to be really, really good. We're doing it with the County Department of Rehab, along with the Lincoln Training Center. And then we are also going to have a student workshop, and we're going to be covering preparing students for the workforce. They hear a lot about A through G and being prepared for college, but it's going to be very hands-on, interactive, talking about how to prepare after college for those careers that you want to take on. And then we're going to have a successful student-run business called the Lemonade Brigade come in and talk about their model and what they're doing and their current high school students, and they do a really, really good job. So that's going to be on April the 18th at East LA College, 8:30 registration, 9 o'clock program. It is a free half-day conference, and lunch is free. Continental breakfast and lunch we are providing free. And finally, I want to say that it was really good to see my colleagues, Mr. Flowers and Ms. Shoemaker, at the VFW Veterans Memorial Fundraiser. So that was a really well-done event. It was here in the community to raise money for a veterans memorial. We don't have one in the city of West Covina, so I want to say that was really well done. Those are my reports. Mr. Flowers?
Yeah, thank you. I'd just like to also like to thank the West Covina and Edgewood Track and Field. Just to see one of the young men that I saw grow up as a young man who was always in trouble. I wanted to say hello to him. And I just say, little Silvio, to see him come up to do what he's doing now, I watch him grow up. As you see, he's beat up everybody in the streets. Then I look at him now. He's going on, and I'm so very, very proud. I hate I didn't get a chance to get a hug from him and his dad while he was in here. But also, I did enjoy the some of my colleagues was at the VFW Memorial Service, and all the proceeds that they did, that they raised, would go to building a veterans memorial for the students, the soldiers who have been killed in war. So they going all that proceeds would go to them, and they did a great. It was a great function. Also, the back to school night in Edgewood was awesome. Awesome. That's all I can say. It's awesome. It's good to see what the kids are doing, and to see all my colleagues, the board. They're also supporting our kids. It was a blessing. And also, our superintendent was around, and it was great. And I also got a chance to go to the Dale Norton. They had opening day for baseball at the Nationals. What a great event. I'm seeing about 300 kids or so there. And just to see those kids throw out the first pitch and see those kids who have gone on to win national championships was also a great thing. And my last thing I would say, the community service groups here in the city of West Covina, they're putting on a Mardi Gras celebration of champions. And they're putting on a dance. And it's March 21st of this year at the Elks Lodge. All of the money, the proceeds are tax deductible. All the money goes to the Special Olympics. So, you know, West Covina is putting on, going to host 100 people from the Special Olympics. We don't know who they are yet, but it's just the kids and the chaperones. So we're going to host them in our city. So it's going to be a great thing. We're going to put on, you know, barbecues, dances for them. The West Covina School, they're going to be practicing at the West Covina High School. And if anybody's in attendance, would love to be a part of that. It's the first time that the West Covina Community Services, 30 different organizations, the Elks, the Lions, the Rotary, all these different organizations coming together for the very first time to put on this great, great dance. As of now, I think they have sold 250 tickets. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be at the Elks Lodge. It's 7 o'clock, so 6 o'clock social hour, 7 o'clock dinner. Your tickets are $20. So I've already hit my colleagues up, so I'm selling tickets if you guys want to come. So even the audience, if you don't buy them from me, the $20, but be a part of your community service, what's going on in the city. Our city is doing a great thing. Our board is doing great things, and our district is doing great things. So thank you, guys.
I will add one thing. I'm still learning the process here in my second meeting. I will not, you know, my colleagues here have covered a lot of the stuff that's been going on. I do want to give Mr. Dorsey recognize him for the open house. It was well done. But the one thing I do see parents in the audience. You know, this is a time of the year where your students, maybe middle school and high school, are going through the process of choosing their courses for next year. I mean, some of them may have already done so. I really encourage you to be part of this process with them and to be sure that you are reviewing the classes they're taking. And if you have questions or are unsure of why are you taking this class, be sure that you reach out to their counselor. And especially if your students are, you know, freshmen in high school, that you build that relationship with their counselor, because, you know, some of these choices that are being made in terms of courses your students are selecting, you know, may in the long run impact their ability to apply to certain colleges, certain universities. So, you know, don't let your child just come home and say, okay, I got my classes for next year, and all right, good job. You know, make that part of a family discussion so that you are completely aware of what they are taking, the rationale as to why they are taking certain classes. And if you don't, they can't answer those questions and you can't, then, you know, by all means, make sure you are contacting their counselor. It's very important, and just a bit of advice. Thank you.
Thank you. Student rep report.
For Edgewood High School, on February 28th, the Sadie Hawkins dance was presented by the freshman class of 2018, and their theme was glow. So they painted glow in dark paint, and they also had a photo booth, and they had attendance of 249 students. On March 4th, girls varsity softball won 13-4 against Roland, and girls varsity for Edgewood, they placed sixth in the Southern section in CIF. And tonight, track and field will be hosting a Shakey's Night in West Covina to fundraise for extra equipment, and that will be going from 6 to 9 p.m. And on March 13th, they will be holding the Mr. Edgewood High School competition, and it's going to be held by the senior class, and they will be fundraising for their senior school gift. For Coronado High School, this past weekend, 23 students and 5 staff members went on a 10-mile hike from East Fork to the Bridge to Nowhere. It was combined effort of their science, art, and language arts departments, and there the students took pictures, studied the plant life, and witnessed longhorn sheep. Seniors took the Mount SAC placement tests on campus, and students are preparing for the KC exam next week. For West Covina High School, last Saturday we hosted our the National English Honor Society hosted the annual Dr. Seuss Day. The event was a success, and there were various activities for children, such as seed planting, face painting, reading aloud, fishing, and a scavenger hunt. The children who attended had a great time, and again, thank you to the board members for their attendance. Your support was greatly appreciated. Last Friday, our school hosted our spring sports rally with a theme of Harry Potter. The rally was a success, featuring dances by the athletic teams, a video with teachers performing Harry Potter spells, and performances by color guard and all male. Last Thursday, our school hosted the first track and field meet on Thyberg Field against Edgewood High School. And then this Thursday, our school will be hosting our annual open house. They will be showcasing our school's academics, athletics, and extracurriculars offered on our campus. And clubs will be selling food and offering many activities for the community. And then next Friday, Renaissance will be hosting their annual Battle of the Bands, and it's a competition just to support the local bands in our community and on our campus. And on that same day, the dance drill and all-male teams will be competing at Nationals. And next Saturday, the student leadership will be hosting their annual leadership symposium, and the theme will be Big Hero 6.
Thank you. Staff informal report.
Thank you, President Shoemaker. As promised, Dr. Coghlan will be presenting about his conference that he was in attendance last week. As you remember, he was not here because he was at the cash conference, probably a bad term
to send the
business guy to the cash conference. But I want to remind everyone, cash stands for the Coalition for Adequate School Funding.
Housing.
Thank you, H. As you know, there's no funding source to build schools. It obviously comes from the government. It comes from our tax dollars, and it's not an ongoing fund. So school boards and school districts wrestle with how to maintain school facilities year in, year out, which is why we sent Dr. Coghlan up to Sacramento. So your report.
So up in Sacramento, learned a few things of what's going on in the state. The last time the state passed a state facilities bond was in 2006. Wasn't really a good time during the Great Recession to pass any bonds. However, the need is arising again. And so CASH is working on an initiative to put on the ballot in 2016 November, an initiative for a state bond for facilities. It's a $9 billion bond, $7 billion of which would go to K-12 public education for $3 billion for modernization, $3 billion for new construction, half a billion dollars, half a billion dollars for charter school construction, and $500 million for tech ed. And what we learned up there is the initiative is showing some strong approval at this time. There's about 63% approval rating for the state bond. Over the last 15 state bonds that have been on the ballot, 14 of them have passed. They usually have a pretty good track record of passing. The reason they're important in a school district is school districts have local bonds. And in the past, West Covina has gone out for a local bond and would then apply for matching money. In this district, $80 million was authorized for improvements. The district would apply for matching funds from that state bond, and so in a sense would have $160 million available for projects. So it's something to really be looking at. They are projecting $20 billion in the next 10 years in California of a need for improving school facilities. Right now, there's $2 billion backlog. Remember, we talked about that matching money. There's $2 billion of which we have an application in there for our Cortez Rio Verde modernization. So we're waiting, if the state bond were to pass in 2016, we're in line to get some matching funds, which for our district could be anywhere from $1.5 million to $3 million. So wanted to bring that information back. It's something to keep on the radar that there is an initiative, and as these times are turning around, and our facilities haven't really been kept up. It's time to look at that. I'll leave you with a quote from Joe Dixon, the chair of CASH, assistant superintendent in Santa Ana. Every child deserves access to safe, secure, modern learning environments. And that's something we need to focus on.
Thank you for the update. Mr. Seaman?
Well, in human resources, we're getting along with things, but what we're looking forward to next is we're about to go to the table and negotiate with the teachers, and many of them are here right now, and we'll be sunshining for initial proposals with the classified unit in April 14th and get started negotiating with them.
Thank you. Ms. Hawkins? You don't have anything to present tonight, right?
So nothing tonight on the agenda. So we do have several things to present tonight, but I want to comment on an experience I got to have today. I was invited by Merced Elementary School to spend the day at the school and tour classrooms with all of the teachers on the campus. Worked with Mr. Fitzer, the principal, and their teacher on special assignment, along with all of their teachers. And we were visiting classrooms, examining individual student tasks in each of the classrooms to look at the kind of level of difficulty, the connection to the Common Core, and mainly the engaging qualities that the teachers have been working so hard to implement since they've seen the John Antonetti training all year. It was a wonderful day at Merced Elementary School. It was really inspiring to hear the teachers' conversations and get to have that. And each grade level got about an hour of time that we could go through the classrooms and have those kinds of discussions and get to talk to kids all day. So to get to talk to the kids all day was really, really fun for me and really, really fun for them. And I just wanted to share that with you all.
Thank you.
Did you happen to mention to my nephews and niece that Auntie sent you so that they would stay in line a little bit longer since they go to Merced? Darn. Dr. Hinman.
Thank you. I just want to comment just briefly. You know, I'm going on to my third month, and, you know, first impressions are everything. And I know that works both ways, but I just want to give the board a brief view of my first impression of our teaching staff in West Covina. Obviously, I've made formal visits to the school sites, and a lot of the principals have taken me on tours, and there are certain classrooms that we've gone into, and obviously, they're on task, kids are learning, incredible environment. But what they don't know is I'm also have a keen eye to the other classes as I walk through. And all of our classes are on task and on structure, and kids are learning. So that's a great compliment. The other piece that I learned is when I went to Edgewood Open House, you know, obviously the fanfare was very nice, but what I really enjoyed was kind of breaking off and just having some one-on-one conversations, and the quality of instructors in this district, again, continues to impress. I'm sure I can speak of all schools, but in particular Edgewood at their open house, you have some amazing teachers there doing great work. So thank you.
The next item on our agenda is items from the floor, public comment. I have a few requests. The first one is Arlene Zamora. I saw her. Did she leave? Okay. I will move on to Jennifer Layton.
Good evening. My name is Jennifer Layton, and I have taught at Edgewood Middle School for 16 years. Dr. Hinman, we haven't met. Welcome to West Covina.
Thank you.
I came here to voice some concerns about the implementation of the IB program at Edgewood Middle School. I was on the committee for the reconfiguration of Edgewood last year, and the committee recommended that the IB program be instituted within a few years. Last Wednesday, I found out we're going to start IB next year. I was floored. I worry about the rush. I am afraid that if we rush it, it will be done poorly. Good planning leads to good results. We are in favor of any program that helps our students achieve, and IB seems like a good choice. But for any program to be successful, there needs to be training and time for that training to be internalized. It is now March. There are 10 weeks of school left. Isn't it possible that we could have a year to be trained and go for full implementation the following year? That would give the teachers, students, and parents time to feel more confident and prepared. As one of the union representatives at Edgewood, I have already fielded numerous concerns about scheduling and extra students, and it's only been 6 days. As long as we are working within the contract, we are in favor of anything that helps our students, and that includes the IB program. Thank you. All right, people, I'm going to clap for them.
Okay. My next request is from Sandra De La Housay.
Good evening, Superintendent, board members, and staff. As they had said, I'm Sandra De La Housay Bonds. I am speaking in favor of the IB program at Orangewood Elementary. And I guess it goes without saying, if it begins as it's planned with the elementary, it will follow through. I can't see how it could be segmented with just the elementary, not in the middle school, and going right on to high school. There should be a very slick transitional period of going from one layer to another. And I understand what the person before me was saying, that prep time doesn't seem like there's adequate, but my understanding, having attended the orientation program, is that there will be steps in which this will begin. I didn't get the understanding that August the 3rd or 4th, whenever school began, that we would be jumping right into it. There has to be some lead-in time with explanations. Parents have to get involved. They've got to be trained. So my understanding was that there would be a slow progression into the whole system, and after a year or two, then we'll be fully immersed in that whole process. And I support it. I would like to add, for those who will be putting this whole formula together for the curriculum, that there be a component regarding diversity. We've had such tragedies in the last few days. It's brought to mind to me that there's something sorely lacking in our whole system of living, where our kids are not being taught respect for each other, for our differences. And it used to be an automatic thing in school. I'm probably older than anybody in here. And this was an automatic in school because you were tall, fair, darker, smart, brainy kid, whatever, or the jock. You were respected. You were okay wherever you were. Now it's hard for many kids to go to school. You have transgender. You have so many layers of difference. And the kids don't know. They're not told at home, they're not told in church, that this is okay. You respect that person's difference and allow them to be who they are. I am asking that whoever the powers that be that begin this program give serious thought. Somebody has to take ownership for this segment of our lives that's just missing, especially in our young people. We've lost too many children, not just in West Covina. I have a grandson in Bonita School District. His middle school, 3 children committed suicide while he was in middle school. That's horrendous. And I continually ask him, what is the school doing? He said nothing. Kids are still being bullied. Still, nothing has changed. We talk the talk, but we're not doing the walk. So, as I said, I support IB, but I'd like more added to it. Thank you.
That was my last blue card. Is there anybody who did not turn a blue card in that would like to address the board at this time? Okay, seeing no one, we will move on to the business session and the approval of the agenda and consent items. Are there any items a board member would like to remove from consent? Any items to add to consent?
I think we can.
I would like to add 21.
Oh, no.
You said it's okay.
Yeah, okay.
All right, oh, and, well, I'll do that in the motion.
I'll go ahead and move it with the addition of 21.
As amended for number 14.
Are you sure? Oh, as amended to number 14.
You weren't excited about your presentation?
Okay. I have a motion and a second. Okay. It was moved by Ms. Miranda Mendez, seconded by Mike Flowers, to approve the agenda and consent items for the regular meeting of March 10th, 2015, with the amended number 14 and adding number 21 to consent. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Okay. The next item on our agenda is number 10, approval of the dual immersion program. Dr. Hinman.
Thank you, President Shoemaker. I'd like Ms. Hawkins to make her way out. But as she does, I do want to share with the crowd and teachers and parents and students that I am very, very sensitive. At the last board meeting, I shared with the board, I actually apologized to the board for putting as many agenda items as that we put on the agenda for what seems like very quick change. Although, it is my understanding that this district has been moving in this direction, so I've just kind of helped facilitate that. That said, my concern also was because I came in January to really get my feet wet for 6 months, investigate change, and implement in the following year. It's 18 months before really moving the district forward as the board had directed, which is why we're here today. My only commitment to the board, and regardless of the presentation or how you vote, I just want the teachers and the principals and students and parents to know that as a student and teacher advocate myself, I am highly sensitive to top-down directives. It really has to be bottom-up, top-down, and we meet in the middle. I am also very, very sensitive to what training really means, because I agree, if you implement a product without any buy-in or training, you're set to fail. My commitment to the board and to staff is that we wouldn't do that. We would provide all of the training necessary to make sure that we have outstanding, top-notch programs. Our goal is to be the best district in the Valley, if we're not already, to continue that. And obviously, we can't do that alone. It has to be teacher-driven. I'm sensitive to that. And my commitment to the board is that we would provide all of the training and support necessary for success. Ms. Hawkins.
Thank you. Well, it was 2 weeks ago that I was here, and we talked about some of these programs. And since we had the conversations, staff and the school and all of us have had the chance to research these programs even further and bring them forward for consideration for implementation in the coming year. So the first program I'd like to talk with us a little bit about is the dual immersion program. If you remember, our dual immersion program is where we take a group of English learners and a group of English-only students. We immerse them into a program where they become biliterate over the course of several years through study. In your packet on page 10, there is a little breakdown, if you will, of the way the classes would play out for our instruction. The curriculum starts with a 90-10 model, 90% in what would be a target language, and for our purposes, we are looking at Spanish as our target language. After looking at the languages that are spoken within our community and looking at the utility of the language and the availability of staff to teach this at a high-quality academic level, we looked at Spanish as the language. You can see by the time the students reach the fourth grade, they will be learning 50% of the time in English and 50% of the time in Spanish. Truly, by the end of the fifth or sixth grade, depending on the school makeup, the students are biliterate at that point. But then the programs typically, in districts that continue with a K-12 model, tend to continue into more proficiency in the targeted language, so taking those earlier Spanish courses in the middle school level, and then progressing to the possibility of a third language in the high school level. So kids actually become trilingual by the end of their college career, which is an amazing, amazing thing. I've only seen kids do really, really well with this program, and we're very excited that we would have the opportunity to implement it here in West Covina for our students. When we look at a dual language immersion program, as we said, we would be looking at the implementation, the start of that program for kindergartners in the 15-16 school year. Unlike other programs where you start and you might do a school-wide program, this program will grow into a school-wide program, but you can't start it as a school-wide program because the students have to mature and have those experiences as they work their way up. So if tonight the board approves the program, we are looking at the identifying of the school, which is put forward in the proposal tonight, advertising the program, registering students, hiring or identifying BCLAD teachers. We have BCLAD teachers in our district. BCLAD teachers are bilingual educators. They aren't merely bilingual, however, they are biliterate, meaning that they can read, write, communicate in the two languages at a high academic level. We'd have to look at our curriculum and make sure that our teachers had those curricular materials and purchased those materials for them, because as you can see from page 10, the curriculum would be primarily in Spanish in the kindergarten years, and we don't currently have those materials, but we do have resources to take care of that, and Mrs. Lessiger and her staff have been identifying that. The other piece would be moving forward, we would teach the program in 2015-16. In addition, we would be looking at the availability of a full-time, hiring a consultant. Through our research and through some previous experiences, there are some districts around us that have a lot of success with implementing dual immersion programs. And so rather than try to invest in this on our own, we're looking at the possibility of hiring someone who's had the experience of not only starting five separate dual immersion programs at Title I schools, but also at monitoring and supervising and refining a program over the last 15 years that is K through 12. And so we're really excited about that opportunity. I've been communicating with this person quite a bit right now, and so we're looking forward to having that. So when we look at the estimated costs, of course there would be Spanish curricular materials that we would need to buy. We need to purchase some Spanish reading materials. Our teachers would have to have some teacher training, but we're talking about our teachers who would actually be teaching in the program, not the entire school that would be participating in this training. And then we would use a program consultant as to help us to implement the program, make sure that we're setting the foundation really strong as we move forward. Then you can see estimated in 16-17 a similar type budget minus the consultant fees. We don't feel that we might need that as much in the second year once we've gotten it fairly well established. But going forward, of course, we would still need the teacher training. We need to buy the materials. And that would happen over the course of the next few years annually with those fees. In the recommendation, we have recommended, after a real study of the district as a whole, that the programs be started at Orangewood Elementary and Monta Vista Elementary. And that has to do with the makeup of the schools, the numbers of English learners, where our English learners live, the number of students whose primary language in entering kindergarten would be Spanish. In order to have the program be really, really successful, we need to look at the makeup of the classes. But we are looking at having the two classes at each of those two schools for next year, and that's what we've put forward tonight. Any questions?
Now, the teacher training, is that already identified in terms of who's doing it?
There's a combination of things that we're looking at, sending them to some of the local conferences for dual immersion teachers, and then working with this outside consultant to have them come in and learn the true structure and the day-to-day operations, in addition to providing them time to work with their new curricular materials that would be in Spanish.
Mr. Flowers?
Yes, thank you, Ms. Hawkins. What happens, you say you have two classes of kindergarten. What happens if you more students want to get involved in this and you only have two classes?
At this point in time, we would be looking at waiting lists to make sure that we have the appropriate number. Unlike other classes, it's difficult to start a class with only two or three kids in it, but certainly we would be looking at that and trying to, if we happen to have a lot of people want to come, work on expanding the program as the need arises.
As you know, I think I'm very excited about this program, but I know other people from outside the district would love to come and be a part of what we're doing in our district.
One of the challenges with the program, though, in expansion that I think the board needs to be aware is if the waiting list is all English-only students, it doesn't mean we can necessarily open the class because you have to have that balance to do the dual immersion because of the conversations that happen, the instruction that happens. You have to have kind of a split of the class. So we would have to work with that as we look to open. And then if we were to open additional classes at the two existing schools that we're recommending or if we were to expand the program to other schools.
And why did you decide to pick those two schools?
Partially has to do with the number of English learners that over the last 3 years, we looked at the enrollment over the last 3 years of English learners at all of the elementary schools. And those schools have a high number of English learners. For example, this year there are 74 English learners that entered the school district speaking Spanish as their primary language. If we were to open that program today and follow the model that suggested, and no new kids came into the program, 48 of those 74 students within the district, in order for our program to be successful, we need to participate in the program. So I want to make sure that the program's successful, kids have access, more likely more kids are going to have that access, and then we can grow the program from there. That's why.
Ms. Phyllis?
You have two classes, kindergarten through third, and I know that we have class size reduction.
Correct.
But there's still going to be too many students if we don't have students leave.
Correct.
For fourth, fifth, and sixth. So what if all of those students stay with us, which would be awesome, and don't leave?
I don't know. I haven't seen that happen. When speaking to all of the districts who have implemented a dual immersion program, they typically start with as close to 24 students in each class as they can get because through the attrition process, they don't maintain the full 48 students when they hit the fourth grade classroom. And that has to do with the fact that as the kids move out of the program, if kids were to move out of the district for some reason, it's difficult to have a third grader move into the program not having had that experience. You would want to make sure by the time a third grader would move into the program that they were literate enough in each language that they could hold their own moving forward. It wouldn't just be a matter of, oh, are you an English learner? So you speak the language, you can move in. You would have to have the reading, writing, thinking skills in order to do that.
And then the $75,000 for the curriculum.
Yes.
I'm assuming that that's going to be ongoing through all the years because we're going to need Spanish curriculum for every grade level.
Correct.
Is that for all of the core textbooks?
Correct. For the four classes, for two of the classes. Okay. So it's double the amount for four classes. And that's for this particular one in the two primary years that we proposed. The heaviest weighted is in Spanish. By the time we get to the fourth grade where it's a 50-50 split, we'll still be buying double the books because you'll have half of the curriculum in English and half of the curriculum in Spanish.
And as the students enter fourth grade, are those textbooks more expensive than the kindergarten textbooks?
It depends on the group and the publisher and what's in the kit. I know that right now, through talking with our consultant, we're looking at some aftermarket kinds of things to bring in that cost because we are looking at new adoptions moving forward. So we didn't want to go out and buy brand new Spanish materials and then in a year from now not need them because we changed publishers. So we're looking at complementary to what we have and doing it as frugally as possible.
And do we have teachers that are excited about these programs and ready to teach them at both Orangewood and Monte Vista?
We have teachers in the district who are BCLAD credentialed. I believe we have some teachers at Orangewood that are very excited about that particular piece. We don't have anybody currently at Monte Vista, who is credentialed to teach that. We have a lot of teachers who have some of those skills, could be looking at those credentials, and we'll be looking at the staffing to make sure that we have the strongest teachers to build that program. I look at it as the whole district. So.
But we want it to be a we kind of thing and everyone to feel good about.
Yes.
What we're doing at every school. Thank you. Those are all the questions I have.
Okay. Thank you for this work. I'm super, super excited about this. How is the advertising going to be done for the students that are Spanish language
heavy versus English? Because I am hearing from friends all across the district, and as Mr. Flower said, outside of the district, but their kids are English speaking.
Right.
So everybody who's English speaking wants to jump in. So what is the advertisement going to look like? How are you all going to reach
that? We're looking at press releases in the local paper, English, obviously. We're looking at advertising on the cover of every kindergarten registration packet in English and Spanish. We have brochures that we're putting together for that. We're going to have parent nights at each of the schools. And then Ms. Rivera and I are working with the local Spanish newspaper that's for the LA County to advertise in that. About our kindergarten registration and our dual immersion program.
Okay. And, of course, our Twitter and Facebook.
Right. Facebooks and websites and all those standard things. The other thing is I believe Ms. Lessiker and Ms. Rivera will be at almost every open house with a lovely little table and a sign that talks about our dual immersion programs at Monta Vista and Orangewood.
Now, for the parents that live in the Orangewood community and that's their home school, should they decide they don't want their student to participate, are we moving them over to West Cove and
there will be
California,
both kinds of classes offered.
Okay.
For dual. There'll be a choice.
Right, but what if we've got – so we're full in that dual immersion – we have a traditional class, but we still have more kids that live in that neighborhood that exceed the traditional class.
Right now, we were looking at two full classes of English only or traditional classrooms.
If I can interject.
So then three. There's three kindergarten classes then. Four. Okay, thank you.
While the academics speak for themselves, there's also the reality that this could be a growth model for the district. And Dr. Coghlan, if we needed to grow our campus, and particularly these two schools, could we do it? Are you prepared to do that?
Yes. It'll involve putting some portables down that would be funded from the developer fee fund, not from the general fund. And the developer fee fund is for growth in programs and growth or growth in enrollment. So we would need to get moving on it pretty quickly. Tomorrow, but we could get it in place for the start of the school year.
I would like to add that I think Ms. Miranda Jimenez brings up a great point in terms of our Spanish-speaking parents, because we do have to provide some clarification, because a lot of our Spanish-speaking parents feel that if I put my child in a class where they're learning Spanish on top of what they get at home, are they going to fall behind in English? And that's a very real concern for parents that, you know, speak only Spanish. So when these issues are being raised, I know that that's, you know, a very real problem for them, and they need to be made to understand that, you know, your child will be better off in the long run because they're not going to lose, you know, their native language, and they will catch up with English before you know it. So, you know, I hope that we can adequately make these parents feel at ease about that concern.
I think with our parent information nights and the fact that Ms. Rivera, who is not only taught in a dual immersion program but is bilingual and biliterate herself, will be our contact person for those parents, will help us with that.
Any further questions?
I'll move it.
Okay.
I just have a quick comment. We have parent groups at the different schools. With the Spanish-speaking population, are there groups at both Orangewood and Monta Vista that primarily speak Spanish there? We can get out there and start telling them, because I know my next-door neighbor's parents, they only spoke Spanish, but they kept their child in the English language learning program so their child could be literate in both languages. And both of their children have gone to UCLA and have done very, very well. But that was very important for them. But if parents are telling parents about to overcome, you know what, this is a rigorous program, and they're going to be literate not only in Spanish, but English as well, and they're going to keep their native language and be literate. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be really exciting, but sometimes it's best coming from another parent who's excited about it.
Mrs. Lesker has already started that process by sharing with our DLAC, which are all
awesome.
Those parents,
yes.
That we were considering this program and where we were going with that, and she got very favorable comments from the parents. They were very excited about it, so we plan to do that.
Awesome. Way ahead of me. Thank you.
Okay, I have a motion by Ms. Miranda Jimenez, a second by Mr. Maneras to approve the 2015-16 implementation of the dual immersion programs at Orangewood Elementary and Monta Vista Elementary Schools. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Okay, and I know the next two are for you, but I would like to take a 5-minute break.